As we consider the Blessed Man in Psalm 1 tonight, I believe we will see that he has and knows the secret to true happiness. Study of the book of Psalms will introduce us to a number of individuals. For example, as you read through the Psalms, you will meet Moses and Aaron. You will also meet Abraham and Jacob and a number of Jacob's children. You will, of course, meet with David. And no matter where you turn, you will undoubtedly meet the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's there in the Psalms. You will find yourself in the company of kings and princes. You will be with the rich and the poor. You will see the heathen, the wicked, and the ungodly. And there are some whom you will only encounter once, and others you will meet with many times. One such individual that you will meet with a number of times is the one who stands at the very gate to the book of Psalms. He's known as the Blessed Man. We read about him here in verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now this blessed man is worth getting to know, because he has many things to teach us. He perhaps doesn't say much, but his actions most certainly speak louder than his words. For example, here he is in Psalm 1. We find him stepping out with the Lord. In Psalm 32, we find him again. And we read about him and how he was saved by the Lord. In Psalms 34, 40, and 84, we find this blessed man stead upon the Lord. Then in Psalm 65, we follow him into the house of God and into the inner sanctuary as he seeks the Lord. Again, in Psalm 84, we see him strengthened by the Lord. And when we read Psalm 94, there we see him chastened by the Lord. And the last reference to the blessed man is in Psalm 112, and we find him still with the Lord. And so over the next few weeks, the Lord willing, we will be in the company of the blessed man of the book of Psalms. And may we learn from him what it is to be truly blessed. For there may not be many today that can describe themselves as being truly blessed. The word blessed means happy. And many in this world today, indeed many of God's people, can describe themselves as being happy. So does this blessed man of the book of Psalms not hold the secret to true happiness? I believe he does. First of all, as we look at the blessed man of the book of Psalms, we notice the blessed man and his separation. His separation set out for us there in the opening verse of Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. there's a separation. Now this happiness that this individual experienced was not something that was superficial. This happiness that he had was not like the morning dew or a passing cloud. We know that from the opening words. For the words may be rendered, "Oh, how blessed is the man." Or they may be rendered another way. They may be rendered, "Blessed, blessed is the man." And there is something else here that we should notice. For the words, "Blessed is the man," are emphatic. Therefore, we may read them, "Oh, how blessed is that man." That man. That is, that man above all other men. That man above all other men is blessed. "Oh, how blessed is that man." He is blessed indeed. His blessedness, his happiness, is not something that's on the surface, but it goes deep into his heart. He's blessed in his heart. He's blessed in his soul. He's happy in his heart. He is happy in his soul. And surely this would prompt us to say, "Lord, show me the way to this blessedness also. I would love to know something about this blessedness." His blessedness came from living a separated life. Blessed is the man. Oh, how blessed is that man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That man is blessed indeed. Here we see that he is a man with conviction. He's a man with conviction. This blessed man was a man with convictions he was not going to be involved with. He was not going to be influenced by the ungodly. He sees the evildoer is all around him. He sees evildoers in every sight of him, but he has convictions. And his convictions would not allow him to keep company with the ungodly, with the wicked. He believed in living a separated life because he knew that it was the way to true happiness and true blessedness. Daniel was a man with conviction. You turn, please, to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 1. Nebuchadnezzar, of course, has called upon his servants to go and in and out amongst all the young men that had been taken captive, and was told to choose out those that were well favored, skillful in all wisdom, cunning and knowledge and understanding, science, such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Verse 4. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were chosen, amongst others. Verse 6. And they were to be given special treatment. They were to be especially cared for. They were to be nurtured. And they were to be given the king's meat. They were to be fed the king's meat. Not just ordinary food, but food fit for a king. We read in verse 8. Daniel 1 verse 8, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. He was a man of principle. He was a man with deep convictions. He was a man who would not and was not going to eat the king's meat. Didn't matter what others might have decided to do. It says, Daniel purposed in his heart. He wasn't going to be influenced by anyone else. If nobody else refused the king's meat, well, that's all right. Daniel says, I'm going to refuse the king's meat. I'm not going to defile myself by taking the king's meat. Daniel purposed in his heart. And was Daniel blessed? Was Daniel blessed because he would not take the king's meat? Of course he was. God blessed him. Oh, the king had promised him all kinds of things. The king had promised, and Nebuchadnezzar had promised, he would stand in the king's palace. Daniel didn't care a cent for that. He wanted to please his Lord. And the Lord blessed him. Look at Daniel chapter 1, verse 17. Daniel, of course, was given pulse to eat and water to drink. Verse 12. And after 10 days, we're told in verse 15, at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and sadder in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. See, they that honor me, I will honor every time. You honor the Lord will honor you. Without fail. And we read then in verse 17, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel an understanding in all visions and dreams. Verse 19, and the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. Look at verse 20. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better. The Lord blessed Daniel. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Blessed is the man that will not defile himself with the king's meat. Daniel was a man of principle. It is good when Christians have convictions about Christian life and what Christian living is all about, and they're prepared to stand by those principles and those convictions. It is good when they're prepared to take their stand for the Lord and not compromise with the ungodly, not compromise with sinners, not compromise with the scorners. This blessed man was such a person. Like those in the days of Elijah. My Elijah thought he was the only man that was standing up for the Lord. And what did the Lord say to him in 1 Kings 19, verse 18? Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel. All the knees which have not bowed unto Baal. There were 7,000 men that had conviction. And every mouth which hath not kissed him. These were men of conviction. These were men who would rather burn than bend. Like the blessed man who was determined not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly, determined not to sit or stand in the way of sinners, determined not to sit in the seat of the scornful. And dear child of God, may we be like the blessed man. He lived a separated life. Here's the blessed man and his separation, and his separation led to blessedness, led to happiness. He's the happy Christian. Here's the man that knows the secret of true happiness. Separation from the ungodly, separation from the world. Even though the world, believer, even though the world may think we're odd, or as we said this morning, may think we're peculiar. They may think we're too straight, we're too narrow, we're just miserable. Because we don't join in with them. We don't live the life they live, and we've no desire, no intention of living the life they live. Think there's something wrong with them. You don't drink? Oh, you don't go to bars, you don't go here, you don't go to the cinema. You don't do this, you don't do that. Well, what do you do? Where do you get your joy? Sure, they know nothing about it. Person who knows the Lord has joy unspeakable and full of glory. So we have noticed he's a man of conviction, this blessed man. Then we notice his conduct. We're told there, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Whatever his conduct was, you wouldn't find him walking with the ungodly. Whatever his conduct was, you would never find him standing in the way of sinners. Whatever his conduct was, you would never find him sitting in the seat of the scornful. First of all, consider his steps. He walketh not. Isn't it interesting? The first thing we learn about the blessed man is negative. He walketh not. Isn't that what the people of the world say about the Christian? Oh, you're too negative. You're always against something. You're against this or you're against that. Or are you against the other? You're too negative. Well, the man who's blessed, this man that knows the secret of true happiness, he's a negative individual because he will not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. The word counsel here means advice. He will not walk according to the advice given by the ungodly. The blessed man will not be walking according to advice given to him by the ungodly. That is, advice is accepted and adopted would adversely affect his life as a Christian, would adversely affect his conduct or behavior as a Christian. I know we have to go and see doctors and so forth, but may not be saved. We need to do those sort of things, but that's not what I'm talking about. It is advice that is given that would affect or adversely affect our Christian walk or our Christian life. And the blessed man says, I'm not going to follow that advice. Unfortunately, many Christians today are more willing to walk according to the counsel, the advice of ungodly men, than the counsel of the Lord, the advice the Lord gives. Turn, please, to Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. We know that often when you come across the word Gentile, it's a reference to the ungodly, to the heathen. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Why? Why would we follow the ways of the ungodly? Paul says. Why? Because their understanding is darkened. They're alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. There's an ignorance there. They don't know God. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Now this world is full of experts, isn't it? Every day you hear about this expert says this, and this expert says that, and another expert says something else, and give it a couple of years and they all contradict themselves. Oh, that's not the way it is at all. And then you have these experts on the radio. I don't listen to them. I want to say that up front. But these experts that come on the radio and they have phone-ins and people phone in and they want to know how to bring up their children, how to deal with a rebellious child, how to live peaceably with their husband or their wife, and so it goes on. You know, I was amazed a couple of years ago when I heard a person who I believed to be a Christian talking about one of these individuals on the radio. And they said, oh, she's quite good. Oh, the advice she gives is quite good. I was flabbergasted that a Christian should even listen to it. Why would you listen to that? Why would you listen to advice that is given by someone whose understanding is darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them? Why would we follow the advice in these matters of the ungodly? I don't understand. Yet, believers are doing it. What's wrong with the Word? What's wrong with the counsel of the Lord? What's wrong with the advice that the Lord gives? Because what advice and counsel the Lord gives is the best and it's perfect. And not lead us astray. The word of the Lord is the same today as it was 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago. But you listen to these experts, and they give their advice in one matter, and in 2 or 3 years' time they change their mind. Oh, that was the wrong advice. Word of God remains the same. Get the advice from God's Word today, in 10 years' time it'll be the same advice. It'll be the same counsel. Psalm 73 verse 24 says, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel or with thy advice. Same word. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. Lord, give me thy counsel. And afterward receive me to glory. Through his whole life, the psalmist lived his life according to the counsel of the Lord. Now what he's saying there, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward, at the end of his life, thou shalt receive me unto glory. That's the way to live. Live as the Lord directs us. Psalm 37, verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Not some ungodly individual. Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And he delighteth in his way. And the commentators say that those words may be taken both ways. The Lord delights in the man who follows his counsel and his advice. Not only does the Lord delight in it, but the man who walks in the counsel of the Lord delights in that way also. Leads to happiness. He's the blessed man. So you have his steps, then you also have his standing. Walk in the steps of the counsel of the ungodly, and very soon you'll be standing in the way of sinners. Very soon your walk will come to an end and you'll be able to stand still. But the blessed man would not be found standing in the way of sinners. The blessed man does not keep company with sinners. His desire is to be in the congregation of the righteous. That's where he feels at home. He feels at home in the congregation of the righteous. He doesn't feel at ease. He's uneasy when he's standing with sinners. The blessed man wants a sinner himself. Because of the rich grace of God, he has nothing in common with the sinner anymore. There's nothing in common with them. There's nothing to talk about. Turn to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4. And there in Proverbs 4, verse 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men, avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light. It shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Why? Because the way of sinners is as darkness. What fellowship hath light with darkness? None. They know not at what they stumble. So there you have the steps of this blessed man. He doesn't walk the counsel of the ungodly. And the standing, he doesn't stand in the way of sinners. And the sitting, he doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. That's why he's so blessed. That's why he's so happy. He has the secret. He knows the secret of true happiness. Walking, standing, sitting. First following the advice of the ungodly, then he's found in the way of sinners, then he's found sitting in the seat of the scornful. You know, these words could easily have been written about a number of people that we meet with in Scripture. For instance, these words could easily have been written about Lot. He used to walk with Abraham. He used to walk with a man of God. But when he separated from Abraham, he no longer walked in the company of godly men. Instead, he was walking in the counsel of the ungodly. And before long, he was standing in the way of sinners. And when the angels came to warn him about coming judgment, where did they find him? They found him, according to Genesis 19, verse 1, sitting in the seat of the scorner. He was sitting in the gate of Sodom. Sitting in the seat of the scorner. These words might easily have been written about Peter. Turn, please, to Luke's Gospel 22. Luke 22. Luke 22, verse 54. Then took they him, and led him, and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. Where is he? He's walking in the counsel of the ungodly. He's not walking with the Lord now. He's following afar off, walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Now I go over to John's Gospel. In chapter 18. And verse 18. John 18, verse 18. Peter again, and the servants, an officer stood there, who had made a fire of coal, for it was cold. And they warmed them, warmed himself. Now he's standing. First of all, he was walking in the counsel of the ungodly, following afar off. Now he's standing in the way of sinners. Now you go back to Luke chapter 22, verse 55. And then, when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, and were sat down together, Peter sat down among them. There he is. Walking in the counsel of the ungodly, that led to him standing in the way of sinners, and that led to him sitting in the seat of the scornful. Happens every time. But the man, the blessed man of the book of Psalms, said, I will not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. I will not stand in the way of sinners. I will not sit in the seat of the scornful. In other words, the blessed man lived a separated life. He's Christ-like. He's Christ-like. Hebrews 7 and verse 26. We read there about the Lord Jesus, who was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. Christ lived a separated life. Yes, he became the friend of sinners. But he wasn't a partaker of their sinful ways. So we have his convictions, we have his conduct, and then we have his courage. His courage. Notice again, and you read over verse 1, blessed is the man, singular, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, plural, nor standeth in the way of sinners, plural, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, plural. One man, many sinners, many ungodly, many scorners. But the one man is still maintaining a separated stand. That takes courage. One man is standing by his conviction. One man is standing by what he believes. And he's not compromising. And he's not giving in. You don't just think of it. The blessed man with the ungodly around him, sinners around him, the scorners around him, and he's walking upright, walking with the Lord, walking by Zacharias before the Lord. I wonder what they thought of him. I wonder what the scorners and the sinners and the ungodly, I wonder what they thought of this man. As I said before, I'm sure they thought he was odd. I'm sure they thought he was a peculiar individual. What? You'll not walk with us. You'll not stand with us. You'll not sit with us. Peculiar individual. I wonder how much pressure they put on him to compromise. I wonder how often he was made fun of because of his convictions. I wonder how often he was told to loosen up and not be so strict. I wonder how many times it would have been easier for him to compromise and give in to the world and give in to the sinner and give in to the ungodly and give in to the scorner, but he wouldn't do it. He was not for bending. He was not for compromising. And he really didn't care. If it meant the blessed man walking alone, then he would walk alone. If it meant him standing alone, then he would stand alone. And I tell you, believer, that takes courage. That takes courage. When I think of courage, I think of that great day in the European Parliament when our dear moderator took a stand against the Pope of Rome. And as he climbed the steps to go into the debating chamber, a bunch of men stood in his way and tried to stop him from going any further, but he pressed on. I tell you, that takes courage. It's all right when you're standing in the company of sympathizers and saying, oh, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I tell you, when it comes to doing it and you have to do it alone, that's a different matter. Praise the Lord for Brother Paisley. He did it. He went through with God. And he took a stand, and that takes courage. He had the blood of Luther flowing through his veins. When Luther said, when he nailed his thesis to the door in Wittenberg, he says, here I stand, I can do none else. And the blessed man says, here I stand. I'll not be part of your company. I'll not be standing with you. I'll not be walking with you. I'll not be sitting with you. Living the happy, blessed life is more important to this man and the family than anything else. I tell you, when you compromise with the world and compromise with the ungodly, it takes away your happiness. It takes away your joy. Poor Peter wasn't very happy. He walked, followed afar off, and then he stood with the ungodly, and then he sat with the scorners. Wasn't very happy because he went out and he wept. Wasn't happy at all. Let us be like the blessed man of the book of Psalms. You have the blessed man and his separation. You have the blessed man and his studies. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Here's the life of the blessed man. Ah, you see, if you were to meet this man person to person, you would see how blessed he is. You would see how happy he is. And you'd love to know what his secret is. What's the secret of your blessedness? What's the secret of your happiness? And he would say, oh, I delight. It is my delight to be in the law of the Lord. It is my delight to be in the law of the Lord and meditate upon it day and night. That's where I get my happiness from. Just delighting in the law of the Lord. He didn't walk after the counsel of the ungodly. He didn't stand in the way of sinners. He didn't sit in the seat of the scornful. The first verse we're told about all the things he didn't do. All the negatives. Now you get to the positive in verse 2. We're told here about what he did do. He meditated upon the law of the Lord day and night. What does this tell us about him? It tells us that he has a love for the word. That's what it tells us. This blessed man is a student of the word. This blessed man meditates upon the word. Why? Because he loves the word. The word delights. But his delight means pleasure or desire. His pleasure is in the law of the Lord. His desire is for the law of the Lord, the word of God. And the Christian who does not have a desire, I tell you this, the Christian who does not have a desire for the word will never delight in the word. Never. He'll never get any pleasure out of the word if he doesn't have a love for the word. As Matthew Henry states in his commentary, we may judge our spiritual state by asking, what is the law of God to us? What account do we make of it? What place has it in us? We may judge our spiritual state. We may judge our spiritual state, Matthew Henry said, by asking, what is the law of God to us? What account do we make of it, and what place has it in us? What place has the Word of God in our life? That would be a guide as to our what our spiritual state is. Now you will notice that the blessed man is not under the law, but rather he is in the law. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He meditates. The word meditate may be rendered in various ways. It may be rendered study. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he study day and night. As well as meditating, he studies the word. He's a student of the word. I wonder how many Christians today are students of the word. The blessed man is a student of the word. He is the secret to true happiness. Being a student of the word. There's no quick reading over the word here. But there is a getting into the word. Because the blessed man loves the word. Psalm 119 verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Again he said in the same psalm, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law I love. Verse 113. And again in the same psalm, only this time verse 140, he says, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. I love thy law. The Apostle Paul was like the psalmist and this blessed man that we're reading about tonight. He loved the law of the Lord, saying, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Romans 7 verse 22. Mark the words. Mark again what he said. I delight in the law of God after the inward man. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, he speaks about the outward man that is dying. The outward man, the old flesh, the outward man is dying. But again, he speaks there about the inward man that is renewed day by day. The inward man is the spiritual man. The spiritual man who will go on living. If a man does not have a love for the Word, he does not delight in the Word, he never reads the Word, has no desire to hear the Word, never studies the Word, then the question must be asked, is there a new nature there at all? Because it's the new nature, as Paul tells us. It's the new nature, it's the inward man that delights in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. So he loves the Word. You'll notice also he lingers in the Word. We've all had a quick read over the Word in our daily reading. Said, well, that's that done for today. We salve our conscience and say, well, I've read over the Word. But the blessed man doesn't read over the Word. He gets into the Word. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. Again, the word meditate means to study. He studies the Word. It also has another meaning. It means to mutter. Sometimes we may talk to ourselves. Nobody else in the room will mutter away. This is what the psalmist did. He went over in his mind. He was talking over in his mind to himself about the Word. Something he had read. And he mutters about it. He talks about it in his own mind. He meditates. He's going over and over and over the Word. He lingers in the Word. It's not a matter of reading the Word and then just putting it from him. He may have to set down his Bible, he may have to set down his copy of the Scriptures, but as he goes on about his business, still has the Word in his mind, meditates upon it. He's muttering over to himself, that was a good verse. I wonder what that word means. Wonder what the Lord meant there. And then he goes on and on. That's secret. Secret true happiness. Turn to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Moses, the servant of the Lord, is dead. Joshua has been given the task of leading now the children of Israel into the land of promise. And just at the right time, the Lord comes with a word. And the Lord tells them to be strong and very courageous, verse 7. And then verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. My, the words are similar to the words of Psalm 1. Here the Lord is pointing out to Joshua, revealing to him, as it were, the secret, the true happiness. Take the law of the Lord. Meditate in this law day and night. that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosper. That's what we have in verse 3 of the Psalm. May we meditate on this, Lord, day and night. May we fill our minds with the Word. We're thinking about the Word, perhaps, say at night as we lay our head on the pillow to go to sleep. Proverbs 6 and verses 20 to 23 tell us the Word will speak to us first thing in the morning. The blessed man's life. And then he learns from the Word. As you can see there from Joshua 1 verse 8, the more time we spend in the Word, reading it, hearing it preached, studying it, the more familiar will we be of its content. More knowledgeable we will be about Christian life and how we ought to live. Is that not why so many believers today are easily snared or influenced by the latest religious creed? They're easily tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Every new thing that comes along, off they run, following the Pied Piper. Why? They don't know the Word. It's as simple as that. They're not students of the Word. Why should they go to church and don't even bring a Bible with them? Obviously the Word is not taught, the Word is not opened. But the blessed man, he's not going to be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. He's going to meditate on the law of the Lord day and night. And he'll learn from the Word. That's what the Lord told Joshua. Meditate on the law day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. And finally, I'll just give you the last point, the blessed man and his stability. Because the third verse of the Psalm speaks about the blessed man and his stability. He is like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Here you have his permanence. He's planted. He's steady. He's stable. Remember what was said, what Jacob said about Reuben? Reuben, thou art as unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. The believer who's spiritually unstable will never excel. It's like putting a fruit tree in the ground, and you leave it a while, you dig it up. Then you plant it again, and you dig it up, and you plant it again. It's never going to bear fruit, never. Needs to be in the ground, needs to get its roots deep down into the soil. The blessed man is like a tree planted. He has his roots down. He'll bring forth his fruits in his season. His permanence, he's predictable. For he'll bring forth his fruit in his season. Like a good fruit-bearing tree. The farmer can say, oh, I can depend on that tree. When it comes to harvest, I'll get a good crop of apples or pears or whatever from that tree. Predictable. The blessed man is predictable. He'll always be the same. He'll be dependable. You can be sure he will produce spiritual fruit. You can be sure you'll never need to be concerned about him and his spiritual state. And his sleep shall not see it. His walk with God will never fade. His prayer life will not fade. His testimony will not fade. His joy in the Lord will not fade. His smile will not fade. blesseth man. And his prosperity. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. These words may be put another way. Whatsoever he produceth shall come to maturity. Sometimes trees can promise a lot, fruit trees. And you have a nice green leaf and the beautiful blossom. And the fruit begins to form, but it never develops. Never comes to maturity. You're never going to get a nice, red, juicy apple off that tree. Just does not come to maturity. Some believers like that. There's the leaves and the blossom. And the fruit seems to appear, but it never develops. They promise so much, but they never seem to make it. Oh, may the Lord make it like the blessed man. Blessed is the man. Walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, nor faileth, whatsoever he doeth. This is speaking about spiritual prosperity. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's pray. Our gracious, loving Father and eternal God, we bless thee for the word, and for the life of the spiritual man, the blessed man. This man who knew the secret to a happy life. O Lord, we pray, we also might discover that secret. Help us, Lord, to live separated lives. Help us, Lord, to be students of the Word. Help us, Lord, by thy grace to be stable in the things of God. That we might abide in him and he in us. And we will bring forth much fruit. May we meditate upon the words we have heard today. I be with us, Lord, as we leave this meeting house. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forever. Amen.